The political landscape in Washington is running at an intensity that feels disconnected from normal July rhythms. Trump has announced a primetime address for Thursday night. The White House hasn't officially confirmed the topic, but reporting from CNBC and Reuters indicates it will center on declassified intelligence about foreign interference in the 2020 election. The timing matters. This comes after the administration gutted the Election Assistance Commission and after the DOJ sent letters threatening prosecution of state officials who resist federal pressure on voter roll management.
The sequencing you're describing isn't accidental, Marcus. Dismantling the EAC, which was the independent federal body overseeing election administration, removes an institutional check. The DOJ pressure on state officials centralizes federal authority over voter rolls. And then a primetime address presenting declassified intelligence creates a narrative framework around the 2020 election that lands in an information environment where those institutional referees have already been weakened. Each piece enables the next.
On the Republican side of the congressional ledger, Mitch McConnell's announcement that a fall and pneumonia will keep him from the Senate is genuinely significant. McConnell is 84, and his absence further thins a GOP majority that was already operating with minimal margin. Any legislation requiring near unanimous Republican votes becomes harder to pass when you lose even one senator for an extended period. The timing is awkward given the Iran conflict and fiscal debates that are still unresolved.
The Todd Blanche confirmation hearing happening today adds another layer. Blanche, Trump's former personal attorney who was involved in his criminal defense, is now facing a Senate confirmation hearing, reportedly for a position requiring Senate approval, and the backlash is centered on press freedom concerns. The specific criticism is that Blanche was involved in DOJ actions that civil liberties groups characterize as pressure on news organizations. That's a nomination that will generate sharp questioning.
The unanimous House vote banning foreign money in U.S. ballot measures is one of those rare bipartisan moments that actually happened. Unanimous in the current House is genuinely remarkable. There are almost no issues that command that kind of consensus. The measure addresses what both parties apparently agree is a real vulnerability: foreign entities funding state ballot initiatives to influence U.S. domestic policy. Whether the Senate moves on it is another question.
The DSA, that's the Democratic Socialists of America, had a narrow leadership decision to block a member vote on a 2028 presidential endorsement. The DSA has roughly 90,000 members and a governance structure that allows membership referendums on major decisions. The leadership blocking that vote, narrowly, suggests an internal split about whether the organization should commit early to a 2028 candidate, particularly given that the field isn't clear yet. And figures like Zohran Mamdani, who is gaining traction in New York, represent a new generation of democratic socialist politics.
Which connects to the Trump video sharing, calling for the arrest of Bernie Sanders and Mamdani. Mamdani has become a significant political figure. He ran a strong campaign for New York mayor and has built a following that extends well beyond New York's left flank. Trump targeting him by name alongside Sanders is a signal that the administration sees this wing of the Democratic coalition as politically significant enough to engage directly, even through inflammatory rhetoric.
The Minnesota Senate primary and dark money story is the long game. Dark money groups, 501c4, nonprofits that don't have to disclose their donors, are flooding the race with spending. This matters because Minnesota has been trending competitive, and the Senate seat could be a genuine swing. The involvement of dark money on this scale in a primary suggests both national parties see the general election as potentially decisive for Senate control in the next cycle.
And the Maine situation, both the Senate nominee fight, where local Democrats are warning Schumer to stay out of their business, and the ICE killing, where a 26-year-old Colombian man was shot dead and was not, per Senator Angus King, the intended target of the warrant. That second story is deeply serious. A man is dead who was not the person law enforcement was looking for. King said Homeland Security Secretary Mullen confirmed this. The accountability question, what happens when ICE agents kill the wrong person, has no clear answer yet.